We're talking with Mike Kane. He is a senior product manager with Dyne in Manchester, New Hampshire. Dyne is a cloud-based internet performance company. Do I have that right?
That's correct, yep.
So we're here at Cloud Expo in New York City. It's mid-June 2015. What have you seen change in the last year?
The weather. A 90-degree day. So what I've seen change in the last year is the incredible growth of cloud services to house applications that are customer facing, but in a way that that is blind to how the internet connects to these cloud services and what effect that has on how performance rich and valuable those services end up being.
Is it fair to say that the cloud has moved beyond a point where we were talking about mere cost savings, getting rid of on-site infrastructure, and now we're moving to something more strategic?
Absolutely. We're seeing customers, enterprises especially, using cloud decisions in their planning, using it in their marketing to get to new markets. And so it's become really a requirement as part of the infrastructure decision that's being made by a company of how they increase their business growth and their revenues.
Years ago, it took a long time for local area networks to move from something of a fad to becoming actually mission critical, to a point where businesses relied on them. I feel we're kind of at that same tipping point with the cloud, that it's important, you have to have it, but when you move to something that's mission critical, there are fears in moving there.
That's right.
What are the key fears about moving to the cloud? Is it simply loss of control or security, or is there more to it?
Yeah, I mean, loss of control and security certainly are at least the perceived threats that that people worry about. But as they work through implementations that allay their fears in that area, I think what ends up happening is it's the loss of independence that they start really beginning to fear, which is, okay, the cloud has become more strategic to me. I've only picked one cloud provider. I seem to be getting deeper and deeper with that cloud provider. At some point in the future, I'm watching all this value being created in the rest of the industry through other cloud providers in best-of-breed areas. I want to take advantage of that. How do I get out of this box? How do I keep using the cloud provider I have, but start adding other vendors so I can really improve the way that I use the cloud?
Well, that brings us to the issue of the dreaded vendor lock-in. The CIO, who may be a legacy CIO, who thinks in legacy terms of on-premises data centers, it's a tough shift to go from that to being in the cloud at all, to not being able to see your infrastructure. But now you have the issue of the dreaded vendor lock-in.
Right. So in a large sense, if you go back to the issue of control and even security, you don't have to move from having your own data center resources to putting everything in the cloud. So the industry typically talks about hybrid cloud solutions where you're keeping some things under your own control, some things go to the cloud. Directing customers to those two assets really requires a bit of independence from having everybody go to the cloud vendor and then be routed to, say, a data center for particular information that you need to enhance the cloud session. It would be better to have something out in front in terms of the session progression of having something in process that's in front of your cloud choice or your data center choice to direct customers on criteria that you've created, that you control. That gives you your measure of control back. Then if you extend that to say, well, wait a second, once I've done that, I can have lots of cloud locations. I could even have multiple data center locations if I'm using the same policy control that I now own and manage and can enhance. Then it becomes only it's still a single place where you're controlling your business. You're not really worrying about the fact that you have multiple cloud vendors. It's that control that creates a single way to manage all of them.
multiple vendors, multiple paths.
Yes.
An application, a mobile application, might actually, out of necessity, have to ping multiple sites because different sites are holding different kinds of data, doing different kinds of analysis that an application is actually going to aggregate on the fly.
That's exactly right. Having context gives you the choice based on, say, a business issue or a technical issue that will, you know, allow you to use the right resource at the right time. So, say, as you mentioned, a mobile application, there may be a much more expensive service that gives you much better performance that you might want to engage for premium mobile customers, because under that environment, you're going to need to make up for some of the radio performance issues by making sure the data gets to that application really, really quickly. So knowing that lets you use expensive resources to serve the kind of customers you want to serve when you need it, not every time, making your business much more efficient and cost manageable.
Let's talk about performance and uptime, because that's a related issue. I've seen you say, Mike, that there's something like 3,000 route outages every day in the internet and 1,000 domains that are hijacked daily.
Yeah.
What does that mean for me as a business who's trying to run an operation in the cloud?
Yeah. Now, the one way to think about this is the internet in aggregate is highly stable. It's really rare if you get on a good connection, if your ISP is functioning well, or your mobile provider is functioning well, it's pretty rare to have just a 404 error, just a complete outage to get to a service. The bigger problem, or the biggest problem, is that most companies now beginning to believe that slow is the new downtime. If it gets slow enough, then I'm going to give up. I'm going to stop going to that website. So outages actually contribute to that slowness, because there's typically a way that they'll repath, but it will slow things down tremendously. And these hijacks are even more insidious, in that the destination you were expecting to go to, you get a whole different web page that comes up because you've been redirected. Your path that you thought you were taking has been changed to go someplace else. In the old days, this happened very blatantly, where you're going to one vendor's website and you come up to another vendor's website and you go like, well, this is stupid, and you go another way. But these days it's become much more insidious, in that hackers are getting much smarter. They're changing the path in the middle, so that you start from the right place, your ISP or mobile provider. You end up at the destination you're going to, but it goes through a different set of networks to get there, unprotected networks that allow hackers and thieves to steal your data or compromise your data in a way that really challenges your privacy. So these redirects within the internet, these paths that are changing that you don't have control over, these outages, these are things you have to be able to see so that you can decide on how you want to deal with that in real time, with a mitigation that goes around that problem, giving you time to figure out how to solve that problem, but in the meantime, not bleeding data, not leaking privacy, and not slowing your application down to a point where customers say, I'm just not interested anymore in going to the service.
How do you solve that problem? I assume that's where Dyn comes into the picture.
Yeah. So think of it this way. It's what you can't see and the problems that are happening with what you can't see that are the problems. So what Dyn does for you, and there are other companies that do this, but Dyn's fairly uniquely suited to do this, is that we have actually put sensors, probes, we call them vantage points, around the entire internet, hundreds of these, in networks, in interconnection locations, where we're seeing the interaction between networks all the time. And the way that the internet works, at least since the 80s, when networks within the internet connect, they use a protocol called BGP that has a built-in notification process, so that when a network that owns paths through it changes something, it notifies the next network, so that network knows how to send something, you know, to those new paths, and that proliferates, that goes across the network. It takes usually from 5 minutes to an hour for a change anywhere in the internet to proliferate across the entire globe so that changes are seen. So if you're watching that BGP information, you can see those changes. If you're a company that uses those IP, those networks that have those paths, those IP paths, you can set it up to watch all the stuff that your customers are using to get to you and see when a change occurs. And you can decide whether that's a change which is service affecting or just something that's changed that you need to be aware of. By doing that all the time, by monitoring all the time and integrating it into a network management system, you can actually see these alerts in real time and take action in real time to get around these problems.
We're talking with Mike Kane from Dyn. Mike, that addresses issues from the outside in. What about issues from the inside out? Something as simple as an innocent DNS misconfiguration.
Yeah. So that is still actually the outside in some ways. Let me explain that for a second, and I'll talk about the inside out. So the way that DNS works, which is, again, something that everybody used to know 10 years ago, but very few people know now, is that there is no source of truth for DNS in the world. It is every company that provides a DNS service that has put some effort into it and creates a source of their own truth is called an authoritative DNS company. So they create an authority of that DNS information. You pick, as an enterprise, you pick the authoritative DNS service you want to use. Some companies build their own. Most companies buy an authoritative service like Dyn provides, as for instance. What then ends up happening is these authoritative services get pushed out across the internet and stored locally at each entry point to the internet. So an ISP like a Comcast or Verizon in the US has local copies of that DNS, of those DNS tables, so that when you come on in New York City to through Time Warner, say for instance, they have what's called recursive DNS, which gives you the answer of how you path to get to the destination you want to go. From the URL you've put in, it translates it and gets you to that location. If an error occurs and it's sent out in that 5 to 1 hour process, Time Warner New York is going to get that mistake, and the next time a customer wants to go out and get to you, that mistake is going to affect them. So again, that's sort of the end of this monitoring process. If you're watching and seeing that change out in the internet, that this path is now what's being told of how to go, and it's wrong, then you notice that, then you go back to your authoritative DNS, update that, which sends out the change, which changes the recursive. From the inside out, this is interesting. So this is the way that most customers believe that they're helping their customers, their users, in performance. I will look at my data center, I will look at my cloud provider, I will optimize that service as best as possible so that when a customer comes to that, they'll get the fastest, best experience possible. That's not something that Dyn does. That's typically an APM, application performance management monitoring, or network performance monitoring type of solution. We believe that we are very complementary to that, because you still do need to do that. You need to optimize what happens when the customer gets to you. What we're helping with is making sure that you have an optimal experience of getting your users, your customers, to that, so it can take advantage of all the hard work you've done on your APM and MPM assets.
Great information. When a business signs with a cloud service provider, what alternatives or say do they have in specifying the network service provider or the paths that are taken?
Yes.
Because you don't know where packets are being routed. They could be going through Eastern Europe for all you know.
Exactly,
and
right.
Who knows what happens when it's going through there?
Yeah, so this is kind of the dirty little secret of cloud providers, is that it's almost like a franchise in a way. Almost every cloud provider has multiple locations. I mean, one of their inherent values is that they work very hard to get their assets, your assets running on their systems, as close to your customers as possible. So what most people typically do is they say, well, you know, I'm a New Jersey-based company. most of my customers are in New Jersey, my cloud provider should be in New Jersey, right? And then as they develop more customers, and maybe now a lot of their customers are coming from Latin America, they still are in New Jersey, right? The way that you get from your customers in Latin America to that New Jersey cloud location is definitely dictated by the cloud provider that's in New Jersey, and it's typically fairly single-threaded. So they might have one or two providers that bring it there. But that cloud provider has other locations around the world to get closer to different customers. So it may be that their location in the southwest of the U.S. has better performing paths to Latin America. And so if you used both for the Latin American customers, you're sending them to the Texas location. For the New Jersey customers, you're sending them to the New Jersey location. And then you have them back each other up. Now you're doing a load balancing crossover between those two locations. If there is a path problem to the one you prefer, the Latin America to Texas location, you fall back to the New Jersey location. Because even within the same cloud company, the vendors they use to get to each of these locations are different. And so you can create a pretty safe matrix of paths by just using the cloud provider you use today. It costs you nothing more, by the way, to do this, and using multiple cloud locations. So as a for instance, if you use Rackspace, for instance, they have a location in New York, and they have a location in San Antonio. So for that example I gave, you could have those two locations from Rackspace. You don't have to port your application to someplace else. You don't have to think about sharing data across multiple vendors. They will do that. They'll help you do that, but your application sources out of those two locations and gives you better performance and protection.
But it's also possible that New Jersey is not the fastest place to go for the New Jersey customer.
That is also true. So one of the things that we say a lot in Dyn is that proximity does not equal performance in the internet. And it's, of course, worse as you go with distance. So one of the examples that we often use is we were working with a company in Singapore that was interacting with another company, a B2B relationship, with another company on the one floor down in a high-rise apartment, a high-rise business office. One company used one cloud provider. Another company used another cloud provider. The only place that the network companies that those cloud providers had chosen connected was in LA. So every call every session they had, every time they wanted to pass information, they were getting the 300 millisecond delay going across the Pacific Ocean and back again. And when you're doing this thousands, perhaps millions of times in a service, it adds up. It starts adding up to lots of seconds of delay, and performance starts to suffer. If they had looked at how their networks connect, they could have found an arbitrator, if you will, in Singapore that would have connected them locally, and they would have had great performance. So you have to think about how networks connect, not necessarily where they're located.
And if you're in the stock trading business, for example, milliseconds count.
Absolutely. Milliseconds and reachability. So if you're starting to have performance degradation, and we, by the way, Dyn is a company that shows route stability. As a route starts to fail, and typically an outage on a route because of equipment will not fail at a cliff. It will start to degrade and fade in and out. We can see that and give you fair warning to shift. And that's really important for the finance industry, that if you fail in the middle of a transaction, then you have to engage all sorts of activities within your application to protect where you are in state so you can pull back or reinstate and so forth. It gets very difficult. And so you really want to avoid that as much as possible.
Let's shift gears for the couple
Sure.
of minutes we have left. There seems to be, across cloud providers, continual increases. Try that again. 3, 2. There seems to be, across cloud providers, continual increases. Long day. 3, 2. Just watch. Putting that. It's okay. 3, 2. There seems to be, across cloud providers, continual increases in the number of features that are offered, or the advances in features. At the same time, we're seeing a race to zero in pricing. What's going on there, and what do you see from your side?
Yeah, so very interesting question. I look at this very similarly to what's happened with Moore's Law in computing. I mean, if you look back at Moore's Law, the price of personal computing hasn't really dropped all that much in the last 20 years. What's happened is the value you're getting for your dollar has increased dramatically. So you're getting quad processing, you're getting bigger disks, you're getting more memory, you're getting better screens at the same price you got 2 years ago from the same manufacturer. So the same thing's happening now in the cloud industry is the prices are eroding slightly, but in some cases dramatically, but in most cases slightly. But what's happening is that many cloud providers are adding many more features. Never in internet performance, by the way. That hasn't hit yet. It's typically in development tools or storage tiers or processing tiers. They're you know, not giving it away, but they're adding a lot more value and to keep you loyal. The problem is that is, as you said, a race to the bottom over time. So I think what we're going to see is a number of cloud providers starting to specialize in things that they get really, really good at. And what that means is that if you need a CDN for streaming video versus a CDN for graphic rendering, if you need infrastructure as a platform versus a SaaS solution, you're going to want to go to different cloud providers to get those kinds of functions. And this is where, back to that vendor lock-in problem, if you can't get out of your own way and be able and get the advantage of using companies that are now specializing so that they can keep their value, their dollar value up, you're going to miss out on a best of breed approach. And over time, that will really affect your competitiveness. If you stick, you know, with one vendor and live with whatever they give you, you just are not going to be competitive. So going to the cloud changes the world, but not completely. It changes it. It changes the concept of how you do things, but behind that, the underlying factors of what's really going on are still the same as they've always been. You have to stay up with technology. You have to look at the options, and you have to figure out a way to manage that change. And that's, you know, part of how you become a competitive company.
Last question.
Yes.
We're here at Cloud Expo in New York. Not everybody can be here. For those people who couldn't make it to the show, what's going on in the Dyn booth?
So we are really doubling down on this whole concept of taking control of your destiny through internet performance with cloud companies. And so we're demonstrating a product that we have called Internet Intelligence, and it graphically shows you maps of the world and where your company and the cloud companies you're using, where their assets are located, and how they address different markets. It's a color-coded, animated environment that shows you, you know, your performance is great to the East Coast, but if you have customers coming to this site from the Pacific Northwest, you're going to be running into performance problems. That same product provides a recommendation engine that will tell you perhaps you should be looking at moving your cloud instances to these locations, and we'll give you actual companies and other locations and show their performance profiles. So we are a vendor agnostic company. We don't care whether which cloud company you're using, but we are also an information rich company. You can call us big data if you want, and we're providing, you know, billions of points of data every day on how every cloud vendor is operating around the world, and how that can be used by you to again create a competitive advantage in the internet.
We've been talking with Mike Kane from Dyn in Manchester, New Hampshire, an internet performance company. Thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome, Josh. Good meeting you.